Il-1-3 April l-ilkom semija ta' Campus FM danwa Eman Borċ u program miħor aħna. Nisperaw li tinsabu tajbin, nisperaw li u koll il-ġurnata ta'kom għaddit bwiċ il-ġit, kif nisabu f'nofs il-xar ta' Mejju, nisabu u koll ftit il-bot mill-ġimat ta' sajf, il-ġimat li jgħatu ħafna enerġija l-inna il-Maltin, aħna poplu li nħobbu ħafna sajf u ġvera u għalek zgur li minna unuftit jimohna inkunu għaddejn ukoll biktar entuzjazmu għal ġranet li ġejjin kif il-ġurnata ukoll da titwal ftit mhux ħażin. Jiena nħeġġiexkom biex għal sija li ġejja kif issa daqqu it-tokki tal-ħamsa tingħaqdu magħna ukoll għal dan il-programm għal din l-edizzjoni aħna hawn. Il-programm li jitratta dwar l-ugwaljanza, l-inklużjoni, id-diversità ma' numru ta' attivisti, professjonisti, riċerka hawnhekk fil-Gżejjer Malti. U jiena nirringrazzjakom talli ta' kull ġimgħa tkunu magħna talli tadduna wkoll il-kummenti tagħkom biex anke intom tkunu wkoll parteċipi f'dan il-programm u tkunu wkoll parteċipi f'dak li nkunu qegħdin niddiskutu. U għalhekk dejjem nirringrazzjakom talli issostnu dan il-programm. Il-programm tal-lum se jkun bl-Ingliż għalhekk firstly I introduce our guest Sara Azzopardi I just forgot Sara Azzopardi, Sara from the Tyre Foundation for Jewish Heritage in Malta. That's a very interesting organization which I've just learned about a couple of days ago. But firstly, how are you? And kind of, you know, are you excited for this? Like, I just met you a couple of minutes ago, but I feel like our discussion is already going into quite a lot of detail and interesting. But also for the benefit of our audience, who's Sara? Who are you? Like, let's paint a canvas. Let's start with that.
So first of all, thank you very much for the invitation, and yes, I'm really excited for today's discussion, and thank you for giving the foundation the opportunity to present a bit its work.
Yeah, the Tyre Foundation for Jewish Heritage in Malta. What is the foundation?
So the Tyre Foundation for Jewish Heritage in Malta has been set up in 2019,
right,
after unfortunately the disease of Shelly Tayar, who was a close friend of many of us who ended up being the founders of of the foundation. So the Tayar Foundation is a well-known family in Malta, established already since 1846 with the first rabbi of the Jewish community, Joseph Tayar, who arrived from Tunis. And George, Gita and Shelly Tayar were close friends of many of us. And we felt that in order to honor their memory, and because as well of our respective interests from different backgrounds, obviously, we are all coming from different backgrounds, but we felt that to honor the Tayar family, we should organize a foundation. I mean, the structure wasn't clear since the beginning.
Also, an organize a space, I would understand it. Also,
a space, but more like a group of people working hand in hand.
Okay.
In order to build up an organization that would be able to indeed safeguard the Jewish heritage of the archipelago, but obviously from different perspective
It's very interesting, and we will go into the different perspective, different backgrounds as well, but before we do that, it's from 2019, so in reality, 2019, COVID-19, you know, so it's quite a baptism of fire also for an organization to establish itself, I mean, and also to start finding yourself and to do some groundwork also to kickstart. How has been, how was the experience yet? Like, how do you find the experience as of yet?
It has been indeed quite an experience, we should say as well a roller coaster,
yep.
Because we started the process of like all the administration, yep. tasks in 2019. Obviously then COVID kicked, yep. off, and we have been completely kind of stopped, or at least the rhythm was much more slower. I'm personally a mother of children who,
okay.
are school, so I had to homeschool as,
yep.
well. So all of us suffered the situation,
yep.
differently. So, and our first project that we intended to set up, which was an exhibition about Anne Frank, that,
yep.
I guess that we will discuss,
exactly.
later on, was supposed to be one of our first project that,
right.
was supposed to take place beginning of 2020.
I see. All right.
Unfortunately, obviously, it has been postponed.
Yeah.
Maybe not at all for the worse, because at the end we ended up having a project that took a completely different shape of,
yep.
what we thought initially. And so, yeah, it has been a crusade.
quite an experience. Of course, you will already understand, like, the Tayyar, where the Tayyar Foundation comes from. But also, what do we mean when we say Jewish heritage in Malta? Like, it's a very particular phrase also to hear here.
So, obviously, by heritage, there are the material heritage, which basically consists in three cemeteries in Malta.
All right.
Kalkara Jewish Cemetery, which goes back to 1784.
All right.
And the cemetery has been purchased by the Jewish community of Leghorn on behalf of the slaves, the Jewish slaves of the order,
mm-hmm.
in order for them to have basically a plot where to bury their members. It was not the first plot that has been purchased, but it's the only one remaining.
Okay.
And this plot is in Kalkara, and it's an interesting story, because obviously it's a plot that has been purchased for the slaves,
mm-hmm.
but the evidence, or at least the graves that are still here, mm-hmm. more than telling the story of the slaves, tells us the story of the next generation or the modern Jewish community, because the first grave dates back to 1820, the one that we can decipher.
Okay, all right.
Then the second cemetery is in Tabraxia, which was built during the British period, basically.
Okay.
And finally, the Marsa Jewish Cemetery, which is still in use by the,
okay.
the Jewish community today. But those are obviously the material,
mm-hmm.
heritage. Now, by heritage, we can also understand a history. We can also understand a memory that the foundation would like to highlight and also to raise awareness about this history.
What are some of the memories that the foundation would like to highlight? Also concretely, you know, like maybe even a cultural heritage, some experiences that it would be quite unfortunate if history does not talk about them, and we don't talk about these memories. You know, what are some of these?
So the history of the Jews in Malta, of the different Jewish communities that were established in Malta over the centuries, goes back quite far to the Roman period in Malta, with the catacombs in Rabat, where you can find some graves. So the memory of the Jewish community, I tend to say that it's a memory that is made out of ruptures and continuities. This memory, I think it's in building as well,
mm-hmm.
somehow, because if the general trend of their history is some well known, I mean, you can type on Google whatever you want about,
yep.
Jewish history, Malta, and you will find somehow the timelines. But what is interesting and what we would like to do as well through the foundation, it's to put this history into perspective, contextualize as well this history. And for example, the cemeteries are quite an interesting source as well of information, because as I was saying with Calcara, we expect it to be linked to the history of slavery in Malta, which not only tells something about Jewish history in Malta, but it recalls us as well that slavery is part of Maltese history. And obviously we know the stories through the history of the Knights of St. John and so forth, but then trying to picture as well, it's one of the only vestiges that there is from the slave perspective in Malta. So,
and we're saying 1820.
No, 1784. So this is when the plot has been purchased, Napoleon arrived.
Which is, in reality, in context, it's not a long time ago.
Not that much.
Like, it's 200 years ago, which is like, oh wow, 200 years ago. But in reality, when you look at the map of history, you start realizing that a lot of this generational experience, generational memory, is still in our Maltese roots.
Of course.
How aware are we of all of these experiences? Like, do you feel that as the Maltese population as different as it is, that this is the first time I'm hearing about such an important part of Maltese history. How aware are we? And did, I am taking it that that's why the organization, at the end of the day.
At the end of the day, yes, indeed. This is why the organization. But it's also, of course, firsthand to preserve this heritage, not only for the Jewish community, but because those cemeteries are part of the Jewish heritage, but of the Maltese heritage as well. As much as the history of the different immigrations in Malta is part of the specific communities, but also part of Maltese history per se. And I like to do this this parallel with the importance of the history of minorities, which we tend to see as a subject that is like a sideline subject, but somehow by studying minority groups, which Jewish communities have been part all over the history of Europe, the study of those minority groups gives highlights on the history of the majority groups. So on our own culture, I say, I'm not Maltese, but I'm putting myself into the package.
From this side, you're as Maltese as anyone else, I can assure you.
But I think that this is what is interesting with Jewish history, but it would be the same with different minorities that that might have been in Malta. And
what surprises you when also you're learning about history, about the cemetery in Calcare, about other cemeteries, you know, is there anything that surprises you to be like, I didn't know this, or this is an interesting perspective of the reality of Jewish culture and realities back in the days?
To tell you the truth, the first time that I discovered about Jewish history in Malta, it was my first trip in Malta in 2005 when I came as a tourist.
I like the inverted comma, tourist.
So my first interest, but this is a defect of of my historical background.
Fair enough.
I'm an historian, so I always try to find, because I'm specialized in Jewish history, so I always try to find a book related to Jewish history where I'm traveling. So it stuck me since the very beginning, because I found one book that was like giving those timelines. It was more a memoir of the author. But then I started digging, and I ended up doing my PhD on the Jewish history during the Knights period in Malta.
Yes. In Malta?
Yes.
I need to read that.
As soon as it will be published.
Okay, fair enough. But it's just like, there you go.
So indeed, it was surprising since the very beginning. Now what I mean, every aspect triggers my curiosity.
Yeah.
And now from another perspective, I'm giving a lecture on the history of the Jews in Malta. And what fascinates me, it's how from the history of this small group that has always been like a small community with like barely more than 200, maybe 300 persons at a time. Out of this, you can extrapolate, but you can go, if you contextualize the situation of the Jews in Malta, during whichever period, you put it in context and
in
comparison as well with other contexts, like being its old Jewish history in Malta. It's part of the history of the Jews in the whole Mediterranean. So,
yeah, of course it is. And when we're saying this, you know, when we're contextualizing, we're understanding, it's literally how I'd like to the kind of also how I imagine it. It's like literally going back in time and reliving the experience, you know. Is it also due to the history also? Is it something which, actually, let me rephrase this, because it's a very interesting thing that we're talking about. Now, in 2022, you know, of course, we're talking about Jewish heritage, but Jewish community is still present in Malta. Mm-hmm. Is there any change? Do you see any change from like 100 years ago to today, like in the way how the heritage and the community is thriving?
But obviously, I mean, there were different contexts to which the Jewish communities in the archipelago were exposed, like the situation in the Middle Ages, where there were like.
So the information you have go back.
Yes.
Like we're talking about
the Middle Ages, the late Middle Ages. So we have the first
in Malta.
In Malta.
Okay.
Yes.
So
Gottfried Wettinger made the first study about the Jews in Malta during the late Middle Ages, and thanks to the notarial archives as well, he gathered. Basically, we have a whole quite a holistic.
And is there like a space where? Let's say I'm interested to learn about the whole journey or like some of it. Is there a space where one can go and learn? And
unfortunately, not yet.
Okay.
This would be one of the biggest achievements that the foundation would like to reach at one point.
It's quite a project as well.
Yes. And this is one of the aspects. I mean, there have been several attempts already to safeguard, to make projects, to restore the cemeteries and so forth. Now, what we try to do with the Tayar Foundation is really to make this structural. In the sense, like to have a formal structure that will be peronized somehow. That we will, obviously, we are at the beginning, being at the beginning, we already managed to achieve quite of important goals in terms of funds, of projects, etc. But the aim would be really to ensure that those monuments, those places, and the ones that are not specifically that you can't visit per se. For example, if you go to take a clear example, if you go to Mdina, where the Jewish community used to live during the late Middle Ages, you will have like some small indication. Now there is a board stating that here there was the synagogue.
Is that present, or is that a wish that it, or like no, something that we're working towards?
No, we would like really to be able to visibilize more.
Okay, yeah.
But obviously, this requires more research to be done, and obviously more funds, more volunteers as well, because this is the.
It's all voluntary work, isn't it?
Yes, it's all voluntary work.
All the
founders, administrators, we are all volunteers. So yes, it's quite challenging, and but we will get there. We will get there.
I would like to link the Save Our Cemeteries campaign, so we kind of wrap that up. So we can move on. Can you share more information about the campaign?
Yes, sure. So the campaign has been initiated in September 2021.
Okay.
The campaign is still open. And basically, we organized the crowdfunding, an online crowdfunding, not limited to Malta, but we really wanted to open it to internationally.
Okay.
Knowing that many members, former members of the community in Malta now live abroad.
Okay.
There was a huge immigration of obviously British Jews during the British period that then went back to England. So somehow a lot of person around the world somehow are connected.
Are being in the network. There's a network. We are
building it.
Okay,
we are building it up. So the purpose of this campaign is to gather funds to restore the Jewish cemeteries, but also not just to restore them, but also in order to be able to make them accessible to the general public, because this is really the aim of the foundation. It's not just working in a closed area just for the Jewish community. No, not at all. It's really showing this heritage to the general public, raising awareness about, again, the history of the Jews in Malta, but also more widely to what it tells about our own history. The campaign is still open on our website.
We'll link it on our social media as well.
And so far we collected some $11,000.
All right.
The goal would be $50,000. So the campaign is still open. So
we want to encourage our audience to also, if you go Save Our Cemeteries campaign,
exactly.
Jewish Community Motto, also on Google, one can find all the information. But you also mentioned how this restoration, maintaining, is not only for the Jewish community, but to be accessible for all, you know, and this theme is being mentioned quite often, you know, different perspectives, different realities, but everyone coming together. And something that really sparked my interest was a group of Jewish and non-Jewish persons come together. How important is it, and why is it that it is important?
So I think that it's important from different perspective. First of all, because I think that the diversity makes the strength of any kind of group, society, group of person, association, foundation, whatever. Obviously we are all from a different background. My personal background is history, because I did my PhD in Jewish history. We have Dr. Dennis Mitzi, who is also a senior lecturer here at the University of Malta, specialized in antiquity. We have Damon Allen, who is specialized in the tourism industry. And we have obviously members of the Jewish communities, each of them as well coming from different background, being them Israeli, from Great Britain, Julius Neohai, and obviously Ruben Ohayon, who is the leader of the Jewish community in Malta, who is Maltese. It's important from this perspective, the diversity of the group. And what is important as well, I think, is the diversity that shows as well within the Jewish community, because it's a community that comes from different countries, different backgrounds,
exactly.
different cultures it's, of Judaism yeah. as well.
So also when we're saying the Jewish community, it's not like a copy and paste, you know, the same.
Especially not in Malta.
okay. Why is it like? But it's a rich community.
It's a rich community culturally.
It's a rich community in the sense of different perspectives, different ideas, different backgrounds, as you are mentioning. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm understanding from what you're saying. But also when we're saying the importance of even Malta in itself, then it's rich culturally of different faiths, different identities, etc., etc. How do we really understand, as a multi-society, do we understand what multiculturalism is? I'm going to open a bit of a Pandora's box when it comes to, even in your personal perspective, you know, of multiculturalism in Malta. What's your intake on this?
Well, I can speak indeed from my personal perspective, being a foreigner as well in Malta myself, and coming as well from a multicultural family.
Okay,
from
right.
different backgrounds. I was born in Switzerland, but with one parent from Croatia, another one from Italy and South America. So what I find interesting in Malta is that indeed the Maltese history is made of a crossroad of cultures, of languages as well. I mean, the Maltese language per se is the core of the...
It's a beautiful bulbuliata, as you say. Like, it's a mix of everything.
No, it's beautiful indeed, because the language tells tells the multi history as well. From this perspective, I find it really extremely interesting, where I would make kind of a, not a, an opposition, mind you, but I would make a parallel or a slight distinction, let's say, between an international Malta and a multicultural Malta.
All right.
In the sense that I think that if I take some example, for example, with schools, mm-hmm. many schools now have even state schools have yeah. like almost all countries represented yeah. in their schools with the students and so forth. Now, what I would mean personally, what I understand with multiculturalism, is a full integration mm-hmm. and a full somehow the multiculturalism being embedded in the multi-society, which sometimes I have the impression that we are not yet here. And mm-hmm. I will give an example that I'm witnessing with the school programs mm-hmm. with my daughters. They have been, I think, the first class to be enrolled in ethics lessons instead of religious lessons, which I think it's already a step to somehow give another way or another approach as well to integrate different perspective and so forth. Now, I think it would be interesting as well to give all the tools, not only to the students, but also to teachers.
Yep.
Maybe to emphasize even more, like, for example, but again, this is because of my background, a comparative approach on religion. Because through religion, you learn about cultures. And it's only when we start understanding the language, again, of yep. the person with whom we speak,
yep.
That I think that we can really create this multiculturalism.
Yeah.
So I think that as well, somehow, one of the purpose of the foundation is to not to keep this history of the Jewish communities
like
in a bubble.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
It's part of the local Maltese history. And so, yes, I think that this thing of understanding the language, it's the same issue with integration.
Yep.
Do we expect the foreigner
yep.
to integrate, or do we have also to learn the language of the foreigner in order for him or her to be integrated?
Yep.
And I think that's one of the purpose of the foundation yep. is definitely to open this kind of dialogue as well.
I'm very glad you also mentioned ethics in education. In fact, 3 weeks ago, we had a whole discussion about ethics in education in Malta. And you start also understanding that when we kind of bridge that gap, but also mm-hmm. remove the barriers of understanding different perspectives, different realities, really understanding the cultures of different mm-hmm. individuals, then that's where multiculturalism really takes place. So without planning it, it's quite unusual you know, also on a previous conversation we had. In regards to that, actually, you know, it's interesting that in 2 years, quite a lot is being done. Can we just give a brief introduction to the Let Me Be Myself exhibition? And then we'll go to a musical break and then we'll go right into it.
Okay. So yes, just to be brief. So Let Me Be Myself, The Life Story of Anne Frank. It's an exhibition that took off at the beginning in February mm-hmm. this year. It was planned again for 2020 to celebrate the 75th celebration of the liberation of Auschwitz. Unfortunately, we didn't manage to do it at
because
that time.
Because that was 2020.
Exactly. Yep. But we decided to maintain it. And this exhibition targets especially students from all multi-schools, being them independent church and state schools, from 11 to 18 years old. And it's really an educational exhibition that has been brought to Malta. So it's an exhibition that is built up by the Anne Frank House Amsterdam, and that the Tayar Foundation decided to bring to Malta for the benefit to the benefit of the Malta students, but also the general public. So you can see the exhibition in different locations. I guess that we will speak
we'll
about
go
it.
Into that.
And also we completely revamped somehow the exhibition to make it accessible online for the students, since they weren't able to visit physically the exhibition until recently, we decided to organize it completely online for the students. So we did videos, everything based on this program. On these banners, on the
information, the exhibition,
basically the physical exhibition has been put online, yes, digitally, and we also organized a workshops for the students with Isabelle Zamout, who is an educator and educator of the Anne Frank House Amsterdam.
Okay,
she's Maltese, but she's
there you go.
Yes. Hey, and so Isabelle.
The workshop for children, is it?
For students, yes, for students.
Yep.
So we did them online as well, and we had around 250 students participating to the workshops.
The workshops online.
And about 2,000 students being registered for the online tour. Because we targeted especially form 4 and form 5 students.
I see.
To give a target.
You know what? After this musical break, we will go into what an individual, let's say I, will experience when I will go to the physical exhibition. So to go through audio tour of this exhibition. But before we do that, I will switch sorry Maltese. Hamar walwaf a musicali. Kret kalleja irrebiħ ta' musika musika 21. U inkomplu dan il-programm hawnhekk aħna hawn illum il-ħamis dal-waqt.
فتشتك لم ولعب في بوست مضلام استنيت الدعوة جريت كان فلحت ورا الخماريت سامة فلحة الليل اكسبت في المومنت اللي كنت في تعرف ليل دي القلب انتي سابر يزدى اللوم وصعدي في لنعطو كلمة للشوشي دال مومنت كم استنيني اتني فلم كين هدم نادير اركن فرسي دي جادف امهبتي عليك يا ملاحر انتيني ديكي ناونا ليك يين لسليني بروتيجي امهبتي قابلتني كونتنت انتالتني داري Chachrao, in sifru flimkin lemulao Lesli nadi kul madrid Adi astav shan bibi Fakka taiga du isli Masa aina seo shkegni Manish bashtim li kombeus Protegido
dal moment kem stennejni it-nejflim kien ħdimna għalli għalkemm forsi diġa taf imħabdi għaliki ja prata
Kuwa mekkadna kem smajna l-Kurt Kalleja Zebbieħ ta' Muzika Muzika 2022 it-tieni edizzjoni li saret ftit tal-ġimatilu u kollux vera. Muzika minn Malta dejjem fuq dan il-programm aħna hawn iktar muzika minn l-artisti Maltin u minn prodotti Malti minn hawn u ftit minn uti oħra eżattament kif jispiċċa l-programm aħna hawn flimkien ma' Tony Sant il-programm Muzika 21 dejjem fuq kamp. Fem ukollux vera il-mużika Malti hawn ukoll jitingħata l-spazju tagħha ukoll hawnhekk fuq din il-frekwenza. And today's program is an interesting discussion together with Sara from the Tayar Foundation for Jewish Heritage in Malta. And before we went to a bit of a break, we were discussing about the exhibition Let Me Be Myself, the Anne Frank exhibition, which is online, also a physical exhibition from the foundation in Amsterdam, but it is here in Malta. I hope there's not a lot of stairs like there was in Amsterdam when I went to the exhibition in Amsterdam because that was a challenge. But we had a bit of an introduction also on the outreach of school children that are being also outreach and also visibly giving this information. Let's say I am an interested individual who would like to go to the physical exhibition. And we will also give the details where it is being exhibited. But what will I experience? What would be the elements that I will go into? Walk us through the exhibition.
Let Me Be Myself, the life story of Anne Frank, is an exhibition that is displayed in two parts. So the first part of the exhibition, which are approximately 25 panels, something like this, really tells you the story of Anne Frank, the departure from Germany during the rise of the Third Reich, the segregation policy of Nazism, the departure of the family to Amsterdam, the beginning of their life in Amsterdam. The panels are really constructed with the small summaries of the, and it's chronological. And you will have a lot of pictures of Anne Frank, of her family, but also of pictures of the war, to illustrate basically the background of her story. And the first part of the exhibition so really drives you through all her life, basically, and until the moment they go to in hiding in the annex, depending on the location of the exhibition, because we displayed it a bit differently depending on the place, but currently in Fort San Telmo, then after this first part you go in a second room where you have the explanation of what happened when they were in hiding. We have a replica of the annex. A cardboard replica, but where you can see the places. One of the panel really describes the different rooms in the annex.
So literally a replica of where they were living in hiding. And you understand also, you know, the situation that they were in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we also have a replica of Anne Frank's diary, because obviously, I mean, besides the fact of telling the story of Anne Frank, it's also the story of this young girl who wrote her own experience of discrimination, of segregation, of a 14-year-old girl who was stuck for 2 years with the fear of tomorrow, but also her hopes. And so I think that everybody more or less know the history of Anne Frank, but I think that this exhibition really tries to put this historical part into perspective then with today's youth, and how Anne Frank's history has an echo or can be an echo today for today's youth. And then the second part of the exhibition is related to a contemporary perspective. So basically it's what Anne Frank's story tells us today. The second part of the exhibition consists on different panels trying to really interrogate the visitor on notions like identity, but also prejudices, discrimination. So it gives you you can answer questions. You have some questions that are written on the panel, and you follow the path of four different young people today. The exhibition asks you, for example, how do you define yourself, or how others are defining yourself, to which community you think that you belong to, and how others define that you are belonging to a specific community or not, and how you find your path in this. So it doesn't give formally answers, but it tells everybody how you can go yourself through this path. And it really opens as well the eye on how what Anne Frank experienced,
journey of
the journey, exactly, is something to another extent that young people today can experiment as well. Prejudices are still pertaining to our societies, unfortunately. And I think that this educational exhibition really aims to give a voice as well to the students, to interrogate themselves on how they perceive themselves, how they perceive others as well, and to initiate as well kind of a debate in class. We were really interested in this specific exhibition because the Anne Frank House Amsterdam offers a different type of exhibition with different themes and so forth. This specific exhibition was interesting for us as well because we tried to find an exhibition that was also targeting the learning outcomes of students, that the target group that we were focusing on. And the feedback that we had from many educators was that it was really something like kind of a tool as well to be able to initiate a discussion in class with students. There is as well a lot of material for educators that is provided with the exhibition. So we sent the material to all the educators. So the purpose as well, this exhibition will be permanently to the Tayar Foundation. So we really hope that we will be able as well to renew the experience with schools, particularly also with the general public, obviously. But it's true that if somehow this project can be paralyzed as well for schools for the future, this would be, I think, an interesting aspect.
Just sustainable. It's something that stays, you know. Mm-hmm. I think it's something that stays. And of course, our peers in our education, the children are changing. They're growing up. It's important. It's not a one-time thing. And then, you know, it needs to be a generational thing where we are all aware and we all process these questions together. You know, I think the fact that you're hearing and seeing and learning the story of a young girl, which it's quite renowned worldwide, and Frank, but also understanding her family, who her family was, the composition of the family, and also moving then to your own self. And that's, I'm assuming, why it is let me be myself, you know. It's really understanding who you are as part of society and what society is in general. I think it's very powerful. Also that it is here in Malta. And I think that's one of the most things that caught my eye is I used to be the first critical. I used to criticize a lot our small teas. Oh, we don't have these interactive exhibitions. We don't have these thought-provoking exhibitions. We need to go abroad to see like the Anne Frank House or the Frank Museum in Berlin or whatever, you know. Then it's here in our shores. It's a few minutes away in reality in Malta. And it's touring different locations as well.
Yes.
So it is up to us now to go and learn and ask questions and to have these discussions. And of course, usually when I go to these exhibitions, and I know a lot of our listeners are also experiencing the same things, especially with this program, and a lot of listeners have told me, oh, okay, but we ended up listening and we have more questions now than when we started. And that is the process of learning. That is
Definitely. The
process of learning. And
Definitely.
That's why such an exhibition is so important. Of course, it's being exhibited in different places.
Mm-hmm.
Where is it being exhibited? Maybe the times, I'm not sure of that information. But also, this is not only for school children, it's also for the public in general.
Definitely. I think it's the first information. It's displayed currently in Fort San Telmo until the 1st of June. And after this, the exhibition will go to Gozo, to the Hajar Museum, from the 19th June till 25th of July.
Okay.
And you can find the opening hours on their respective websites.
It will be on the website. That's only fair.
For the for San Telmo exhibition, the exhibition is within the museum. Mm-hmm. So if you purchase the ticket for the War Museum, you have access to the Anne Frank exhibition. One important note is that if you're visiting as a family with the Heritage Malta passport, you can obviously access the exhibition for free. So this is what I did personally with my children as well. So a bit of the publicity for this fantastic passport.
It's a family event, isn't it?
Yes, this is really as well what we wanted to do. I think it's an exhibition that obviously the children have to be able to understand. So I think it's important as well for the parents to accompany the child through the exhibition and to explain. My children are 9 years old. There are things that I explained and I just moved on a bit, but the exhibition is really made for children from 11 to 18 years old.
Yep.
So, this is the target group. So, so it's a family experience, I think, because I think that I'm pretty convinced that children are the one who are teaching us. So through their own question, we are learning as adults. It targets students, but families, but also like the general public. Many people contacted us, and when I was mentioning this passport for the family, no, I will go to on my own with no children. It's just for me.
Yeah.
So I think that everybody is interested in this. People as well who already went to the Anne Frank House in Amsterdam are really willing to see it. Someone was writing to us on Facebook telling like, I went to Amsterdam, but I can't miss it if it's in Malta. So I will definitely go. And obviously as well, because we are in some specific spots, tourists as well are interested. Some of them are also wondering, how is it possible that we have such an exhibition in Malta? But what we did as well, our aim as well was to put into perspective as well Maltese history in this context. So we added one banner regarding the Jewish community in Malta during World War II.
I see.
Because again, this is one of the purpose of the foundation. Obviously, it's educational. So we will not only provide activities that are directly linked to the Maltese history in Malta, but Jewish history in general, and Jewish history for what it tells in a global perspective as well. So the Anne Frank exhibition was really targeting this aspect, but we thought it was important as well to highlight the condition of the Jews during this period. Unfortunately, for the time being, there isn't a lot of research. There are documents and so forth. So I think and I hope that our foundation will also bring interest into students to dig into this subject. But we did a brief overview of the history of some families, because this is what we have mainly for the contemporary period, individual stories. Yeah. And the purpose, obviously, as well, on the long-term basis, would be like to somehow record all those history, like, which are part now of the whole oral history, yeah, but that we need to preserve as well.
Yeah, and to make them accessible and to also be factual, in a sense that
exactly,
everything is kind of a jigsaw puzzle together of different experiences that, yeah.
And also, I think it's important sometime to recall this Jewish history, like outside of predefined ideas that we could have about how things were, or like extrapolation and so yeah, forth. So the recontextualization of history is
what
really
I
important.
Say it's very difficult to break away from. I think it's, and I think we need to learn. Everyone needs to learn how to break away from these predefined notions of
exactly,
what is and or what is or what should be, because this is
exactly
what I think. You know what? I think we have like, we would have another hour of discussing and going into all of this. But the last question is, what equality means to you? Like, what does equality mean to you? And then we'll go into sharing the contact details.
Sure. I think I have pretty much like a basic definition of what equality should be, basically like equal opportunities for everybody, overcoming any kind of prejudices, discrimination, being them linked to gender, religion, origins, race, and whatsoever. But more than a definition, I think that the core to reach equality, which I don't think that in many aspects, it's not yet here. I think that the core is education.
Yeah.
Not only the right to education, but the duty to educate. And I think that, I mean, it's really at the core of all aspects of to reach equality, to understand what multiculturalism
yeah,
is. Without education and without the right approach to education, we fail the new generation. So,
you know what? That's a beautiful way how to wrap it up, that we all have a duty to kind of go into this journey with our generation and also ourselves, in essence of relearning and learning how to relearn, basically, which I'm going through that. I mean, we have a joke, me and my listeners, like, we have a joke that this is a therapy session here, you know? We all come here once a week for an hour. We'll go through a therapy session of learning.
You will have me next week as well, then.
There you go. If anyone would like to get in touch with the Tyre Foundation for Jewish Heritage and Malta, how can they do so?
So we have our website is www.jewishheritagemaltainoneword.org.
All right.
And you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and I think that's all. All the general social media.
You know, the fact that you have LinkedIn.
But mainly our followers can follow on Facebook. I think it's one of the main
platform.
Exactly.
Is it? Thank you so much, Sarah, for coming, sharing your knowledge, teaching us, and also for your being open to having this conversation. Honestly, thank you.
And thanks to you for this opportunity. It has been a great pleasure, and for the
we're going to keep in touch.
Definitely.
There's way more we need to go into. Edisse mia, grazie tal-intom u koll kontumana l-dan il-program. Program miħor issa ikun nar il-ħamis li ġej. Nar il-ħamis li ġej se jkun sports differenti. Ħanlikom ptoma, mux ħanajdilkom, pero ħajkun sports differenti li għadu kem ġi introdott ġewwa Malta ftit ta' xurilu u għalhekk li intom issemmija u koll inħeġġixkom tinaqdu magħna. Repetizzjoni ta' dan il-programm issa jsir nis-sibt fil-11 dejjem wara l-programm Agora fuq Campus FM. Jina għamam burċ, ma t-fadalli xenxin, jidilkom ħlif tisli, jitu ċaw.